Well, good morning. Good to see everybody here today. Hope you're enjoying our wonderful weather we've been having. It's great living in the state of Texas, especially in the wintertime. I've never had the notion to want to live upstate and up north or anywhere. They can have the snow plows and I'm happy. I'm all right. Yeah, it gets a little hotter in the summer around here, but you know that's what AC is for. So we're still good. That's all right. Well, we're starting our second lesson on hearing the Holy Ghost. We started the first lesson last week with the introduction. And today is the second lesson entitled Having a Converted Ear. It's important that we know that we must learn and listen. And our opening verse today is Acts 28:27. It says, "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." In lesson one, we learned about the Holy Ghost is real. He is God, and he is a person. We studied that he is responsible for conviction, for regeneration, for sealing, for the fruit of the Spirit, for power, for gifts, for leading us, walking with us, filling us, teaching us, and anointing the believer. There's a lot of reasons why God has allowed us to be indwelled with the Holy Spirit, and it's for our good and for his glory. Churches cannot experience the fire of God's word, God's divine presence, or God's direction without hearing the Holy Ghost. It is a priority. And if we want to find ourselves in that situation, we must learn to listen as a church and as an individual, because that's what God's trying to do, trying to use us, teach us, train us, bring joy in our heart and life. And how can we be on fire for God and not listen to God? Or we can decide not to be on fire for God and just be just another place someone goes to on Sunday morning to check out what hat someone's wearing, which is, I don't even know anyone even really does that anymore. What blouse they may have on, how they change their hair color or style, whatever. And then they go home and then they talk about everybody who should have changed their hairstyle and whatever and didn't. And so that if that's all you get out of church, maybe it's because you're not listening to God. And we need to listen. If we would listen, he would change us and he would make us in what we need to be. He wants to. He wants to speak to us. He is speaking to us all the time. We're just not listening. And so today we're going to talk about the converted ear. In order to comprehend and learn how to hear the Holy Ghost, we need to learn about the ear we need to have in order to hear the Lord. And so in this lesson, we're going to focus on the converted ear. And the presumption as we get started is that, number one, we want God to hear us, and that should be a given. But we have a couple of verses there. Psalm 31:2 says, "Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily, but thou be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me." And Deuteronomy 1:45 says, "And ye returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you." You know, when we find ourselves in a problem, difficulty, and think something we need God to work on, we call out to God. We want him to answer immediately. "Lord, hear my prayer. Hear my request. Heal my daughter, my son, my wife, my husband. I need help by tomorrow. I need this taken care of. I need something to you to come through with me right now." And if God doesn't hear us, we get a little upset about that. And yet, we need to assume that, you know, God is going to hear us and not turn his ear away from us like Deuteronomy says. And we want God to hear us. That's a given. But also we want, God wants to hear, for us to hear him as well. I mean, it's both ways. Yes.
Sometimes God hears us. Look at poor Paul. Paul prayed 3 times to be delivered from the thorn in the flesh. God finally told him, "Hey."
Yeah, it's there for a reason. Yeah, that's right. But he heard him, and that was the whole point. Yeah. And we expect that when we pray, we want God to hear us, whatever the need is. And even if he says no, we want some kind of response. We need God to act somehow, some way, tell us something, talk to us. Lord, I need your help. What do you want me to do in this situation? And we're expecting an answer. But it's also the other way. God wants us to hear him. We can't just ask. You ever have somebody, I won't mention anybody in this room. I'm trying not to look at anybody, but I'm not. My eyes keep going to Deanna for some reason.
But
you ever been around somebody, maybe your child or something like that or whatever, and they ask something? This happens to me at work all the time. Just people on the phone. I know it happens to you. They ask something. Well, I have relatives that do that to me. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Am I supposed to wait or should I go ahead and do this? And instead of pausing for me to give an answer because they asked me a question, they continue to talk. But, you know, what I'm talking about is that, you know, if I do this, and I don't know how it's going to turn out, but if I do this, if I wait, and we may miss the opportunity. I really don't want to do. What do you think? But I just don't know what I should do. I'm thinking, are you really asking me? Or are you just venting right now because I don't have a chance to answer? I'm waiting for you to give me a chance. And sometimes we do that with the Lord. Lord, I need you to move in this immediate situation. I just need an answer right now. You know, I'm just going to take care of myself. I'm just going to go ahead and do this. And I'm thinking, you didn't even wait. You didn't even wait to hear anything. And so we assume, you know, our presumption is we want a God to hear us, but God wants to hear for us to hear him as well. And that's what Psalm 78:1 says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. And so we must be willing to listen if we want to hear from God. So, yes, we want to ask him. We want him and we need him. We want to hear from him, but we got to have the ears converted enough to change to hear him. So we're going to talk about that. Our presumption is that our purpose is to that God wants us to hear him for wisdom. That's number one. God wants us to hear him for wisdom. Proverbs 2:2 says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and incline thine heart to understanding. So if we will listen to God, God wants to teach us some things to help us to have more wisdom and more understanding. So we have a good purpose on why we should listen to the Lord, because he is talking to us and telling us stuff that we need to hear. It's for our good. He's just not saying stuff, you know, and giving us information that's not valuable. Everything he speaks to your heart about is for you personally, and he wants you to hear it. There's a reason for it. And so we have that purpose, but also we have another purpose. God wants us to hear him for proclamation as well, not just for wisdom, but proclamation. Matthew 10:27 says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye unto the housetops. So God wants to give us some information that he wants us to pass along to other people. It's the gospel. It's proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's exalting the Lord and being involved in worshiping God. How can we do that if we don't know what God wants us to say? We're his messengers. And we're supposed to be relaying God's message and his gospel, his good news to the world. But if we don't know what that is, what are we going to say? Well, we're going to substitute what we think they should hear, which is not what they need to hear. But God knows what they need to hear. And we have to be open to the gospel and to have our ears inclined to Jesus that we can hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us. So we presume that we want God to hear us, and God wants us to hear him, and God wants to teach us a wisdom and to proclaim his word to others. So what's the problem? Why is it that some people just can't seem to hear God speaking to them? It just, their ears just aren't converted. They just can't hear that. It's kind of like trying to read code on the computer, the actual language that the computer runs on, if you don't know how to read code. It's like a foreign language. Like you can look at it all you want. You're not going to know what that says. you don't have the eyes to be able to read it. But some people don't have the ears to be able to hear. And there's a problem. One problem is they're deaf to the Spirit. 1 Chronicles 24:19 says, yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. Why wouldn't they give ear? They didn't want to hear what the prophet had to say. The only time you ever want to hear in those days when a prophet came into town, it was really for two reasons. Mainly for bad reasons. When the prophet showed up, he was normally telling the people that they were wrong and they need to get right with God. And, you know, then if they didn't, of course, God would bring what he his judgment upon them, and that they didn't want that. That's why you see in Scripture sometimes when Elisha or somebody, one of the prophets coming to town, Samuel or something, they're always asking them, are you here for, you know, good, or is this peaceful, or why are you here? Because they're afraid they're going to get bad news. Well, if you thought you're going to get bad news all the time, you're just going to stop listening to whoever's giving you the bad news. That's why some people don't like to go to certain churches. If you go to a church that always preaches the whole gospel, you're going to hear good news and bad news. The good news is God loves you. Bad news is you need to get right with God. And some people don't want to hear the bad news. They just want to hear the good news. And so they're just going to go somewhere they can hear the good news. And they don't want to hear. They're deaf to the Spirit. They're making themselves not listen. And they, like he says here, because the prophets come in, they testify against them, and they would not give ear. They would not listen and repent and change, and they would not hear, thus saith the Lord. And that can be a problem with the deaf to the Spirit on an individual level, and it also can be a problem on the church level. In the individual level, Revelation 13:9, it says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. He speaks to us individually because he wants you to make a change in your life. Does God ever speak to us and just say, hey, how's it going? I'm just wondering, you know, just want to chat and see, just tell you I love you. Not very often. He tells us that in his word all the time. But if God's speaking to you, it's because there's a change that needs to be made. And if you don't hear it, you're not going to make that change. He's telling you because he wants you to make a change. It's on an individual basis that we need to hear God and know that he is speaking to us. And when you hear him, you better be open to making a change. Otherwise, you're being deaf to the Spirit. You're purposely saying, I don't want to know what God has to say because I know what he's going to say, and I don't want to change. And that's what happened a lot of times. And you see in the Old Testament, other times in the Scriptures, they just didn't want to hear. The same thing happened when Jesus, when he was on the earth, and he was going through his ministry, a lot of people just didn't want to hear what he had to say. They thought he was from the devil himself, and he was preaching bad news instead of good news. And the only reason they thought that is because they didn't want to change. When someone comes to somebody else and says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you're going to say, what? I don't need to repent. I'm a child of God already. I'm already, like they said, a child of Abraham. I'm a religious person. I've been serving God all my life. You're going to tell me I need to repent? No, you need to repent. They don't have an open ear. They're deaf to the ear. They're deaf to the Spirit. But also, you know, that can happen on a church level as well. There's a lot of scripture in Revelation. One is Revelation 3:6. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And there's a message that he wants us to have. He wants the church to continue to do his will, his way. And we should stay in the same way he did it. And he established the church is the same way we should have a church today. And he speaks to the churches and wants them to know that he's there. He's willing and willing to listen. Sometimes they needed to repent of something. If you read the different letters to the churches, sometimes he said, change something. He told them, well, you're doing this well, but you need to change this. And then in the last age, the last letter he wrote, you know, basically he was just telling them, you know, I'm outside knocking. You're not even letting me in. I'm not even inside. And we see that a lot of times, you know, the church has the name. They have all the stuff. It looks like God has blessed them abundantly, but you can go in there and it's cold as an ice cube in there. You might as well go in a walk-in freezer because there's no God in that service. It looks from the outside like everything's fine, like he says in Revelation. It looks like you got riches. You don't need anything. You got everything you want. But he tells them you're naked, you're destitute, you have nothing. You need me. And they didn't even know it because they're deaf to the Spirit. So that's the problem. Some people are deaf to the Spirit, whether it's individual or churches. But also a problem could be that they're unconverted. There's no blood of God. You know, if someone is lost, how can they listen to God? How can a lost person ask God, what will you have me do in my life? Well, the first thing he's going to say was, you need to get saved. You need to repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. You need to get your heart right. That's what he's going to tell them. So if they're not going to listen to that, why would they listen to anything else God has to say to them? When a lost person tells you that God told me, it's not the God we serve that told them that. It's the other God in this world that tries to be a God in this world, imitates God in this world. That's the one speaking to them. And that's why they're all messed up. I told you about that person I saw a long time ago. Me and Melissa were downtown. And, you know, when you go by the Alamo, there's no telling what you're going to see out there, because everybody uses that as a focal point to get attention. You know, there's churches that go down there and actually do flyer attracts and stuff. I've run across several before that actually stand in front there, in front of the Riverwalk. People are going up and down and they hand out tracts. But sometimes it's not that, it's the other nuts. Everybody shows up in front of the Alamo. You can go any time, any day, you're going to find some nut in front of the Alamo doing something. So we're over there and walking through. Yeah, thanks, Deanna. I appreciate that. You're going to be in my next illustration. I got it written down already. You're next. Okay. So, I know. I know. I'll write her name down so I don't say Danae instead. I'll make her stand up. I'm talking to her right there. That's the one. But we're downtown and we see this lady holding up this sign that says, God spoke to me and told me to tell you that he loves you. I said, well, from the surface, it sounds cute. But in reality, God did not talk to her to tell her to tell me that he loves me. He already told me that in his scriptures. He doesn't need another person to come as a prophet. That's what she was trying to say. I'm a prophetess. You know, he spoke to me and gave me his revelation that he, oh man, he told me that 2,000 years ago. When he died on the cross. I don't need another person telling me you're the spokesman for God. No, he already gave me that message. Thank you very much. And I tell you about the guy that he was a missionary in town that started a Spanish church. And when he was in the military, he was in the Air Force, and he was working like Brother Ed at one time with a chaplain. And he was going out to make some visit, and they're riding the car together. The chaplain's usually an officer, and he wasn't, and they're riding together. So he had to mind his manners, but the priest chaplain saw that he was having some, looked like he was worried about something, concerned something. He said, if you got any problems or issues going on, I just want to let you know that if you ask me, I can absolve your sins. And he came out with the best answer, because to respect him and not just blow up on him, he said, oh, thank you, but someone's already taken care of my sins. I don't need that. Thank you anyway. But some people are just deaf to the Spirit. And the problem is they're unconverted. Leviticus 8:23 tells us a little episode of that. It says, and he slew it, talking about the animal to sacrifice. And Moses took of the blood of it and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, upon the great toe of his right foot. You had to apply the blood to Aaron to place him as a sanctified being in the priesthood, you might say. But blood was used to show that conversion. And people today, if there's no blood of Jesus upon their heart, they have no conversion. And so they're unconverted, and they're not going to hear what God has to say. So that's the main major problem right there, not only being deaf to the Spirit, but unconverted. But you also have that group, what I call uncircumcised. They're the ones that don't want to have any part with God. And I use Jeremiah 6:10 as an example. It says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. And you could use that same verse to say unconverted, because he's basically talking about people who just aren't with God. They don't have no part with God. But do you realize that there's people out there that are, again, believe that they're Christian, they're believers. I don't know if they are or not, but they believe they're part of God. But yet they don't want to have any delight in Him. They don't want God to basically interfere with their plans. For instance, I had a guy come to me one time, and he was one of our neighbors a while back, and I believe him and his wife were truly saved, but I really don't believe they ever got any type of discipleship in their life at all, because of what would come out of their mouth sometimes was like, where did that come from? I mean, I don't know. They just never got trained in anything. And it was just, so, you know, when they would come over now and then, one time he came over and he said, he's all excited. You know, I'm going to go on this other town over here. We're going to start a church. And I said, well, what church you been sent out of? I'm just going my own. Me and my wife, we're just going to go start a church. And I said, well, that's not biblically the way you need to do it. You need to follow God's plan and do it His way if you want it to be a church that God's going to be part of. Anybody can go out and say they're going to start a church, but they really got to do it God's way. Yeah. Just like salvation, you got to be saved one way. You can't be saved several ways. You got to do it God's way. And if you're not willing to do it God's way, then you're never going to do God's way any way else. And he was completely turned off and just shut down as soon as I started telling him that. He didn't want to hear anything I had to say from that point forward, because to him, in his mind, I was cutting him off, cutting him down, saying, you cannot go start this church. And he already had in his mind, I'm going to go start this church. I'm going to do it for God. That's great zeal, but no knowledge, no wisdom, no nothing. And that God doesn't want that. He's speaking to us because He wants us to learn and do it the right way. Not our way. Do it His way. And yes, there's a lot of ways you can do it. But the more tries we try, you start messing with how you start a church, you're also going to start messing on how you baptize people, how you have the Lord's Supper, how you include membership, how people can be involved. And all of a sudden, you're going to have to drop a lot of things that God has already put in place and the standards He's created, because it's not going to fit your mold and your thought and your way you want your church to go. So go ahead and start your church, but I'm telling you, it's not God's church. You can go ahead and, a lot of people have done that, and they already, and they look like they're so successful and everything's going great. But God wasn't involved in that. We have to do it His way. And we have to be willing to. And so some people just don't want to be part of that. You know, they want to say that they're part of God and want to say that they're converted and they're listening, but they're not. They're not at all. They're not planning on it and are not going to. So I don't know if they're really just lost, or maybe they're saved and they just don't know anything and they just don't want to learn, because they're already in their mind, this is the way I'm going to do it. And we can have a hard head like that and just do it our way. With everything in your life, whether it's the ministry you're involved in, the church you're involved in, the tithing, the offerings, the missionaries, whatever. If you have in your mind how you want to do it already and you're not going to ask God, just don't ask God, because He's not going to talk to you anyway about it. Why even ask? Because you're not going to listen. And God has a purpose for the way He does things. And that's why we don't have to have garage sales, and we don't have to have other things that we do to finance the way our church runs. God has already put that in place, and He already has a plan for that. And it works perfectly if we just do it His way. We don't have to rely on other things and people and the unsaved out there to finance God's house. We finance God's house. We keep the lights on, because God has that plan already in place on how He's going to give us, and we give back, and it everything works out. We do it His way, but we got to listen. So the problem is we're deaf to the Spirit. We got an unconverted ear, or maybe an uncircumcised ear. So we have to talk about the resolution. Well, number one, Convert your soul. That's going to help. If someone is lost and they want to hear from God, they need to get saved. Now, Matthew 18:3 says, "And verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." You have to be converted. You have to be saved in order to hear God. Some people say, "Well, I've been praying all my life. God's been speaking to me. Now you're telling me that I need to be saved." I'm telling you, if you're not saved, you are not hearing from God. Yeah. You thought you were, or someone else was speaking to you, but it wasn't God. The only time God technically is going to speak to you, it's going to be the Holy Spirit in the conviction. Because He's telling you that you need to get saved. He's the one convicting of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what He does. And so He's speaking, and He tells people that they need to get saved. But I know even in my lost life, and I look back when I was very religious and in church and everything, in the wrong church and not converted, I thought I was praying to God. I thought, God was speaking to me or whatever, and many times, but it wasn't God at all. There wasn't anything happening. You talk about all those people that pray 5 times a day in their religion. 5 times a day. We can't even pray once a day sometimes. They're praying to a false God 5 times a day, and they think that God's listening and hearing them. And they get nothing back. And they're committed. And we have an opportunity to listen and hear God every moment of our life, and sometimes we refuse to do so. Amen. And we have the direct line to God Himself, and we never get voicemail, unlike in Aaron's case. Don't ever call Aaron. It's not going to make any difference at all. So resolution, convert your soul. Also convert your spirit. Luke 22:32, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." You know, sometimes we need to change some things to convert some things in our life in order for us to be better used of God. And that's going to become converting ourselves, our inner spirit, to be able to listen to God, want to listen to God, be open to what God has to say. When we hear Him, be open to make the changes that we need to make, so that in the long run, we can strengthen the other brethren around us. If God can teach us and change us and make us and mold us and what we need to be, and He wants to do that, by the way, He hasn't forgotten about any of us. He knows about every single one of us, and He knows what changes need to happen in every single one of our lives, and He's telling us what those changes are. If we'll be willing to listen and hear about those changes, we can help others through the changes He made in our life. And you know some personal examples of that, how that happened in your personal life as well. You know that. And you run across somebody that is a Christian, that's not growing as a Christian, there's something wrong. Maybe they're in a place that's not teaching them, so they can't grow. But if they're in a place that they can be taught the Word of God, and they can grow, and they can get disciples, and they can change, and they can be what God wants them to be, but they're not maturing as a Christian, why? Maybe they need to convert their way they've been thinking into, no, maybe I should be more open to what God has to say to me. Maybe I should be listening more often. And maybe I'm missing something. But sometimes you get somebody who is saved and they never get in church that will teach them the Word of God and disciple them. They're still saved, but the longer they stay in that situation, the worse it's going to get. Yeah. You take a little baby, a premature baby maybe, those first few months are vital to how that baby's going to end up. I mean, it really matters that first few months and whether everything's going to be okay or there's going to be some problems later in life. But once they cross that threshold, it's like, okay, everything's fine. Now they can move on just as a normal child. But if nothing's done for that whole period of time, what do you think the outcome's going to be? And that's how it is with us as Christians. When we're first saved, that's why here in our church we have a discipleship program. When someone gets saved, I immediately introduce them to the discipleship program, give them the book, give them the Bible, and try to set a time right then and there for next week or so that we can get together and start talking about that first lesson. Now, the decision's up to them. Sometimes they don't ever get back with me. They don't ever follow up. They don't, and then I'm worried, concerned about whether they actually got saved or not, because that's a bad indicator. If they don't want to meet with me after they already said they got saved, there's something wrong. Because I know when you know the same thing. Same when I got saved, when you got saved, first thing you want to do is be in church. That's just normal. I mean, that's your new home. God saved you. I couldn't wait for the doors to open so I could go to church after I was saved. I mean, I wanted to be there. I would have went every day if they would have had church. I wanted to be there. There's something wrong when someone doesn't want to be there. And that it's vital in that first period of time, whatever how long that is, when someone gets saved, they got to immediately start to be trained and discipled. And if you can get them at the very beginning and start training them at the very beginning, boom, they're going to start growing as a vibrant child of God, just like any other child. It's just going to, everything's going to be normal. Everything's going to be growing fine. They're going to be going full steam ahead, and you're going to see change. You're going to see growth. You're going to see things happen in life that need to happen. But some people just never have that or never want that, and that's why they never have that conversion that they need. Yes, they may be saved, but they're never going to be used if they don't make a change, and that change has to start with hearing the Holy Spirit. In the next few lessons, we're going to talk about how we can better hear God and pay attention. And know it's Him, and be able to apply that in our hearts. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we have here today. I ask that you'll bless us now and be in the midst of all that we do today for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.